Hi, I'm Al Spohler.
And I'm Hugh Sisson. Welcome to Cellar Notes. Well, last week we talked a little bit about some imported dessert wines.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still kind of in that headset. So let's talk a little bit about some domestic dessert
wines. Yeah. And we make a lot of really, really nice dessert wines and fortified wines in this country. Most of them, just about all of them, are modeled on the old European things like
the
ports and Sauternes and ice wines and whatnot. But they're still fun. Let's start with one from California, Justin Vineyards. And Justin has, you know, some nice wines.
Mm-hmm.
They're obtuse is the name of their fortified Cabernet Sauvignon. It's Paso Robles 2010. And I think the notion of making a port out of Cabernet Sauvignon is a little odd, perhaps.
They've been doing that for a while out there.
Yeah, they have.
They're usually pretty good.
Kind of get away with it,
yeah.
You know, I think that, in fact, this was a pretty convincing port. The wine has these kind of buttery berry syrup aroma. It's rather sweet, but it has good acidity and a touch of tannin. And the flavors are exotic, like sweet, strong tea, blueberry syrup, a touch of quince, concentrated essence of pomegranate.
Wow.
Yeah, I could be making this up, but
I'm going to go with you on this.
I think that's pretty close to what I was tasting. Perfect with chocolate. You know, so that's the Justin Obtuse. Here at home in Maryland, Bordy has been turning out some lovely dessert wines. They have a ruby port style wine called Veritude that's available in a 375 milliliter bottle. Now, oddly enough, this has been in wood barrels for about 4 years, which isn't exactly how you make ruby port, which
right.
is put into glass real soon. But I got to tell you, it's spot on. The style is spot on. From the color, the lightness of the wine, everything about it just screams ruby port. The aroma is just pure cassis, creme de cassis. It's very suave, very polished, very sophisticated. The flavors are very subtle and complex. You have fleeting impressions of flowers and refined yellow plums, a little bit of caramel. Really, really nice. From Washington State, where they do a lot of good Riesling.
Yes, they do.
They have fooled around with some late harvest Riesling. And Kiona has a very, very nice example. Now, not all of the fortified dessert wines are big bombers. This one's very light and delicate. That's not surprising, considering that it is Riesling. The aromas featured honey and wheat biscuits. The flavors were very lightly sweet, but they had that honey again and touches of sweet lemon and a little bit of yeastiness to them. So it's a very light dessert wine.
That sounds terrific.
And great for a lunch.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have a dessert wine for lunch, this is the one to go to. Also in Maryland is one of the, it's kind of an oddball wine, except I respect this so much because it's done so well in the Governor's Cup every year it's been there. It's a mead, which is a honey-based wine.
Yep.
And this is from Orchid Cellars, and it's their brand called The Archer. And every year this gets a gold medal, you know, just without fail, like clockwork. It's a mead that's been made with some additional spices. And it's just delicious. And it starts with a nose of kind of toasted muffins and honey with very earthy undertones. And you'll also find notes of warm straw and malt. And as you taste it, you're going to find toasty honey notes again with some woody, buttery accents and these spices running through it. Mead is fun, and it's not only just for Renaissance fairs. You might want to pick some of this up. It's really, really cool. So there you are. We're going to put all of these on the website. Please visit and take a look at them and enjoy these cold winter nights. I'm Al Spohler.
And I'm Hugh Sisson, and you've been listening to Cellar Notes, produced by Bob White for 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station.